Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Darby Ruart is the founder and director and chief economist at The Efficient Group. We wanted to understand the impact of the current fuel increase on consumers as well as the state of our economy. Darby Ruart, good morning. Thanks for joining us as you always do. How are you?
Thank you very much. Good morning to you. No, I'm fantastic, thank you. I hope the same there. It sounds quite jolly in the studio this morning.
No, well, we try. You know what we do is we consume the news, but we actually don't let it damage our souls. Well, we try anyway. Sometimes it's sometimes it's easier to do than others. All right, so we've had a fuel increase. What is going on with the state of the South African economy? Give us an overview.
Okay, given an overview where we are. Well, I'm afraid not on a very good spot at the moment. The International Monetary Fund just came out with a report saying that the world economy is heading for a recession, which means that economic growth globally is going to slow down. And in fact, it could even contract. So it will be getting smaller, the world economy. South Africa is part of the world economy, and whatever happens internationally will affect us. So purely from a global perspective, so things are not looking that good. Then, of course, we've got some local issues in South Africa as well. We've got politics. That's quite a mess. We all know that. And then we have a lack of electricity. We just don't have enough electricity. We have a currency that's under some pressure. We have inflationary pressures in South Africa as well. We've got the Reserve Bank increasing interest rates. And I am afraid in terms of economic growth, things also don't look that rosy for South Africa either. There's a little bit of good news. I will try to give you some good news. And that is that I think the inflation, we're getting closer to the inflation peak. I think inflation is going to level off from around about here. And that means that we're probably going to see further increases in interest rates, but the worst is probably behind us. And I think by next year, we can start talking about possible reductions by the end of next year in interest rates and so on. But I'm afraid in terms of economic growth, I'm not too optimistic because there are so many structural issues that we need to address before the economy can grow. And one simple example has to do with the lack of electricity. Mm. So that's where we are. Not in a very good spot. Of course, there's always a silver lining. And ironically, part of the silver lining is the state that is pretty much collapsing at various levels. And that actually creates an opportunity for the private sector to participate in things that the state normally will provide. And I think electricity is a good example of that. What is currently happening with the post office is another good example. But of course, that's not the way to do things. But the private sector is certainly using these kind of opportunities, you know, to do what the private sector can do best. And that is to solve problems and to provide services and make money, of course.
Right. Well, I often think about that because if you look at the state of our national health government hospitals in comparison to, for example, our private hospitals, which are exemplary and world class. If you look at where Telkom was, where the state communications provider was, and then the development of the private sector around cell phones, we're world class in terms of that. In terms of our banking, in terms of our education, private education, wherever the private sector has stepped in, South Africa is really, I keep using the word exemplary, but remarkable in what we've achieved.
Indeed.
And what it, I'm...
Absolutely so. Yeah. But I think people, the argument against what you've just said could be that, yes, it's true that South Africa's private sector provides world-class education and health services and everything else, but it's too expensive for the poor. That will be
absolutely
the counter argument.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Yes, but that's not true. In fact, that is not true because now the reason why I say that is let's use South African Airways as an example. South African Airways, the reason why it kept on flying was not because it was well managed. It kept on flying for a long time because you and I, the taxpayer, kept on subsidizing that. So if you discount the effect of the subsidies, you will find that South African Airways was far more expensive than Comair, as an example. The same goes for education. If you look at education, how much, education is free in South Africa, supposed to be free in South Africa, but I can tell you, if something is free, it is usually much more expensive than what you think. because we spend more on education, the taxpayer, we spend more on education than most countries in the world, in the absolute and in relative terms. But the outcome of education in South Africa is absolutely horrible. The quality of our education, state education, is of the worst in the world. So if you discount for that, you will find that it is actually very, very expensive. And there are many examples where the private sector can provide education even for poor people at a very affordable price and at a much, much better quality. The same goes for health services, and the list goes on, the list goes on. So don't make the mistake in
that
saying
is so interesting.
That, yeah,
you've changed my perspective on this, because it really is a misnomer, because what we keep saying is well, yes, no, well, we can't have that because it's unaffordable for people. But actually the reality is it is more expensive. You've just got all that's happening is people are paying, different people are paying for it.
Yeah, there's a very good and interesting study that was done in the United States a year or two ago, where they calculated how much, what's the cost of things that is provided by the state and how much the private sector asks for that. And the answer to that is the private sector, despite the fact that the private sector makes money out of it and it's a profitable sector, they want to make money. That's the reason why they exist. They can still provide most services at 30% cheaper. If you really include all these subsidies and things, they can provide it at 30% cheaper than what government can provide it. So the private sector is, in fact, cheaper if you do a proper calculation on what the state can provide certain services.
Really, really interesting. Well, where I was going with that is what I've started to notice is that there's this whole growth of alternative electricity suppliers, where some, you know, some people are, you know, where they'll put the panels, for example, in your house, they'll provide you with electricity, but they're going to want the additional power that they would ultimately be able to sell back into the grid. So we actually are seeing this whole alternative industry developing, and when we look at the amount of people that must be employing, etc.
Ideologically, there's something very interesting happening as well. We have a government in South Africa, and if you ask anybody and ask them what's the ANC government stand for, is it a socialist orientated government or is it a free market orientated or what? And I think most people will say they're more a socialist orientated. They're more, let's call it left leaning. Or I guess they call themselves a developmental government. They want to develop. They in fact, government says they want things to. They want the state. Supposed to develop around the state, and the state's supposed to take the lead in these sort of things. But what happens in, that is the theory, but what happens in practice, and you've just, that's a very good example you've just raised here. In practice, what happens is that the state is so bad in doing these sort of things that basically what is happening, these sort of things are falling apart, and the private sector is gradually taking over these things. And solar is a good example of that. Electricity is a very good example of that. Eskom has fallen apart, and it is still falling apart. It is financially unsustainable as it is, and we know it's unreliable, and the private sector is simply providing, stepping in and providing solar panels with all sort of financial packages and everything to make it affordable for people. It has already happened to South African Airways. It is currently happening to the post office, for example. The post office is financially and operationally bankrupt. It is. The really weird thing, we've got the socialist government or so-called developmental state in South Africa, but in practice what happens is that they are privatizing everything. They are acting like a far right-wing government. They are acting like Margaret Thatcher's government. They're privatizing everything. De facto, that is what is happening. Of course, that's not the idea. That's not a policy, but they're so bad at doing things that is what happens in practice, is that they stop providing these services in the private sector, stepping in and providing these services. And solar is a good example of that.
And I'm sure that that's the way that this is going to develop. Really, really interesting conversation. We do need to leave it there. Dawie Roodt, founder and director of chief economist of the Efficient Group.